Good morning, and welcome to Grendene's earnings release conference call to analyze and announce the results of the fourth quarter and the year 2010. We inform you that this conference is going to be held in Portuguese only, with simultaneous translation into English. Right now, all participants are in listen-only mode, and later on, we are going to start the Q&A session, when further instructions for participation will be provided. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please request the help of an operator by pressing star zero. You should be reminded that this conference call is being recorded, and a replay facility will be available at ri.grendene.com.br. Here with us, we have Grendene's leading executive officers, who will also be able to answer any questions you may have. Rudimar Barrander, Industrial and Commercial Director, Francisco Schmidt, Investor Relations Director, Edson Matsu, Product Development, Magno Kleber Freitas, Exports, Gelson Luis Rostirolla, Financial Director and Controllership, Luis Antonio Moroni, Sales, Márcio Dalbó, Marketing, and Paulo Pedofilho, Melissa Division. Please note that the press release for the fourth quarter of 2010 is available at ri.grendene.com.br in English and Portuguese. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that any statements made during this conference call about the company's operation and financial outlook are forward-looking statements based on the expectations of company management about its future. These forward-looking statements are highly dependent on market conditions, on the overall economic performance of the country, the industry, and international markets. Now, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Francisco Schmidt, Grendene's Investor Relations Officer. Please, Mr. Schmidt, you may proceed.
Good morning. Thank you for being with us in another conference call of Grendene to release the results of the fourth quarter for 2010, the year of 2010, and the company's outlook for the future. As you know, we disclosed yesterday information regarding this period after the market closed in our press release that is already on our investor relations website. In my comments, I'm going to be brief, highlighting some aspects of the performance of the fourth quarter and the year of 2010, financial and economic aspects, and the outlook for Grendene, leaving more time for questions and answers. Before talking about performance per se, I'd like to highlight that according to the bylaws of the company, the minimum mandatory dividend is calculated with base of 25% of the remaining net income of the year after constitution of reserves made in law. Based on the balance calculated in December 31st and deducting the quarterly anticipations of 70,615,200 reais, the company will make the balance of dividends at referendum of the general shareholders meeting that will approve the accounts of the year 2010 in the amount of 51,122,400 reais as of 26th of April 2011. Those that will receive the dividends are the full shareholders of the ordinary shares of Grendene, GRND3, enrolled in company's registrations by 11th of April 2011, cutoff date. In this fashion, Grendene shares are going to be negotiated ex-dividend as of the 12th of April 2011 at BMF Bovespa. Grendene, for 8 years in a row, has had a broad margin of leadership in the exports of shoes, reaching 38.2 exports in the year of 2010. On November 18th, 2010, Grendene was awarded Plastics in Revista magazine by the Definição Editora in the category of contribution for the sector. On November 29th, Grendene's CEO, Alexandre Grendene Bartelli, was awarded leader in the textile leather shoes and clothing sector. Also, Grendene received the Contribuinte Ceará Award on the 30th of November in the category of the largest contributors. The company also, since the first quarter of 2009, is releasing its number according to the IFRS, anticipating to the date of 2010, when all the companies listed will have to do so. We also emphasize that the numbers were suited to this norm to make them comparable. In this session, the numbers presented today for previous quarters are not necessarily the same when they were released in the respective quarters. We would like to warn you that follow Grendene numbers to verify your historical basis to assure compatibility. In our report published in the newspapers, we are making available the last 5 years, all conciliated in the IFRS, to enable comparability and analysis of the company. As for the performance of the fourth quarter of 2010, on the day Grendene turns 40 years old, we have great satisfaction to disclose to our shareholders the results of the fourth quarter 2010. We kept the strategy announced of recompose our prices, pay attention to costs and expenses, and focus on the recovery of margins that had already brought excellent results in the third quarter of 2010. The correct diagnosis and execution made us increase prices by 17.8% in comparison to the fourth quarter 2009, 36.6% for exported products, and 13.4% above the domestic market. Net income grew by 1.6%, with a drop in volume of 14.5%. Unit costs grew by 4.1%, and we reduced the number of pairs by 11.0% as a consequence of a lower volume, resulting in a gross margin of 47.2%, 7.5 percentage points above the gross margin attained in 4Q09, that was 39.7%. With costs and expenses controlled, EBIC in the fourth quarter 2010 was 83% above that of 4Q09, 96.1 million reals versus 53.6 million respectively. The net income attained of 122.7 million accounts for a new record for the quarter and is 44.3% above that attained in the same period of 2009. As we have mentioned, the results of 4Q10 would be similar to those of the third Q, as they were. Annual profits of 312.4 million is the largest of the 40 years of Grendene, established a new level for the company. The results attained were expected, are satisfactory, but we will not spare efforts to keep to this level of robust margins that we are used to deliver. These results are encouraging once the position of the company in the market is very solid. The relationship with sales and distribution channels is excellent, acceptance of products is very good, and the company's general credibility suggests continuity of good results in the future. Also, the economic grounds that drive our business model are still strong, with positive trends, especially in the domestic market. Evolution of consumption in Brazil has not been disappointing, and the inclusion of classes that were outside the market has been happening, providing growth in several markets and generating lots of opportunities. We continue to conduct studies for the expansion of our plants, but probably will not start new investments for expansion in 2011. Investments in modernization and optimizations made in the end of 2009 and along 2010 have assured gains of productivity, as we believed, and have been shown insufficient to meet the demand efficiently and without new investments for expansion in the short term. In addition, a more aggressive price policy, as we anticipated, curbed growth in volume, which did not happen in the second half of 2009 and the first quarter of 2010, when low prices fostered an already heated demand. With more suitable volumes and mix, we were able to get more efficiency. In the foreign market, the evolution of the exchange rate has not been favorable, and we should continue to focus our growth on value added. This expectation of continuity of unfavorable tax rates, or exchange rates, sorry, makes us forecast a lower growth and even drop in volumes exported. These factors combined make us believe that our current capacity will be enough to meet the expected growth that will mainly come from the domestic market. The impact of the exchange rate in the year of 2010 was a reduction of our revenues by $53.3 million. In that, gross revenues grew by 12.8% before considering exchange variation and 9.85% after considering this effect. Consumption drivers in the domestic market have been confirmed and continue in operation. Low inflation, the increase of the minimum wage, and the growing creation of formal jobs all drive consumption. We would like to highlight an improvement of margins cannot be attributed to a mix of products that is simpler with lower added value. Once we can see that prices are above, both in the domestic market with 12% and in the foreign market 11.5% in dollars, which shows a mix that has the same or even better value added. When we analyze costs, we can see that the behavior was different along the year.
Whereas in the first quarter of 2010, most of the variation of costs was a result of the increase in volume. We had 35% growth in volume and 35.9% increase in CPV, respectively, in the first quarter of 2010 as compared to the first quarter of 2009. In the second quarter of 2010, the unit cost grew by 19.6% and accounted for the entire variation in CPV, which in that quarter increased by 16.8%. In the second quarter, concentrated the impacts of the raise of the minimum wage that affects direct labor and the effect in the rise of the prices of resins international market. On the third quarter, CPV dropped by 1.6% as compared to the third quarter of 2009. The increase in the cost of inputs that had taken place in the second quarter, but whose effects have continued, were absorbed and diluted with an increase in efficiency of factories and higher production volume in the third quarter of 2010 as compared to the second quarter. And we manufactured 8.4 million pairs, more than we did in the second quarter of 2010 due to seasonality. In this manner, the cost per pair went up to 5.1 reals, lower than 17.15% to the 6.53 reals in the second quarter of 2010 and lower by 3.9% as compared to the 5.63 in 3Q09. The 4Q09 was a continuation of the third quarter with the company at a new level of efficiency. The cost of sold products dropped by 11% as compared to the fourth quarter of 2009, and volumes also dropped by 14.5%, which led to a raise in the cost of products sold from 5.03 per pair in 4Q09 to 5.23 reals in the fourth quarter 2010, a 4.1% increase, which is lower than the period's inflation. With 852 million net cash, a good geographical diversification, strong international presence, a product portfolio that is always renewed, and excellence in operation, at Green Danny's very well positioned to make the most of all opportunities that the expanding market presents and to consolidate its leadership position. The operational activities generated a cash flow of 339.7 million in 2010, raising the availabilities to 1.03 billion in December 31st, 2010. As we have already emphasized, Green Danny has shown speed to react to the changes in economic scenario, once again proven along this year, adapting its product portfolio and making the most of its strong brands and its sound financial situation. Strong brands are also one of the pillars of our strategy. Considering the current scenario, our long-term targets have been expanded to 2015, and the company will have a new dividend policy. The company, just to remind you, adopted a dividend policy ever since its IPO in 2004 of distributing 100% of its accounting profit. Just to remind you that the tax incentives to which the company is entitled were not part of the net income until 2007 and were directly accounted for in the equity of the company until law number 1168 was passed. From then on, as it was provisional measure 449 of 08 and then law 1141 of 09, the company had the right to exclude these amounts referring to tax incentives from its dividend base, as well as to exclude its their accounting in from our accounting books. After a very detailed analysis of the legal issues resulting from the law and the opportunities, the company has decided that after 2011, without any loss, to the full compliance with all commitments related to the concession of tax incentives, and after analyzing its investment needs for the starting year, decided to raise the payout of dividends in 2011, even though it might have to offer to taxing a share of the funds allocated to this payment as the law determines. In 2011, the percentage intended for a payout of dividends will be approximately 75% of the net income of the business year after the constitution of the legal reserves. This percentage of dividends will be annually analyzed by the management of the company, considering the needs of funds for investments, business opportunities, and other commitments of the company, and may be changed if the management understands it is necessary. If this payout percentage needs to change, the company will announce it to the market through a material fact, and the company will keep its quarterly payouts. And then you can see a chart with the numbers referring to the performance of 2009-2010. And just to remind you, the company wanted to pursue an objective of increasing gross revenue between 8 and 12% and a growth in net income between 12 and 15% as a compound average for the period of 5 years. After 2 years, after we announced this target, during which in 2008, 9, and 10, we had a CAGR of 12.6%, thereby exceeding the cap for this bracket, and our net income increased a compound rate in 09 and 10, 14.2%, therefore very close to the cap for our estimates. We then decided to raise and extend this the same growth rates to 2015, and then the company's target will be to keep the same growth in the period from 2011 to 2015. Green Danny has the objective in this period, just to remind you, to keep its advertising budget between 8 and 10% of its net income. Obviously, during this period, that may be years, when we will have a slightly smaller or greater number, but we do believe that considering the market considerations and everything we are seeing and then its business model, we are capable of having this average growth rate both in revenue and income over the coming years. So this was all I had to say. Thank you very much. And now we are open for questions and answers. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. We may now start our Q&A session. If you want to ask a question, please press star 1. To take your question from the list, please press star 2. Excuse me, our first question comes from Mr. André, a shareholder. Good morning. I would like to congratulate you for your performance on 4Q 2010 and to praise you for that. And my question regards the indebtedness of the company. In your report, the debt comes from 40 to about 178 million reals. Could the company's management explain the reason for this increase in indebtedness? Good morning. Thank you for your question. This indebtedness was an operation that Grendene conducted of about 150 million reals. And as decided by the board of directors, with regards to an export program, BNDES, the Bank of the Northeast, they have loans to fund exports at very interesting rates, which led the company to borrow those funds to fund its exports. This is a way to somehow lessen the adverse exchange rate for exports. Okay, thank you very much. It's very clear. Excuse me, just to remind you, if you want to ask a question, please press star 1. Excuse me, our next question comes from Ms. Hugo Segre from Mainstay. Good morning, Francisco. Congratulations on your results. First of all, I would like to congratulate you for your results and for the executing the strategy that you had announced and all the initiatives of the company. And my question is about the dividend policy. Is there a possibility, or are you still studying or analyzing the possibility of some sort of retroactive distribution of dividends? And if I understand well, the dividend policy is 75% of future net income, and then considering the guidance of the company would be 70% of 350 million. Is that accurate? Well, let's answer your question by parts. As to the retroactive dividends. The company, since the law changed the part of tax incentives was included in our financials and then became part of the accumulated accounting profit, and therefore it could be part of the dividend base. This amount, which is a profit reserve, yes, it can be distributed so long as the shareholders meeting takes the decision, this decision. Right now, we have not yet conducted any studies to do that. We have just introduced a new policy, but these are funds that if the board decides to propose or to suggest, and if the shareholders meeting approves, yes, this amount can be distributed. Before that, the profit generated before 2008, well, then it's a different picture because this was accounted directly in equity. And these are funds for which there is no profit reserve. They are funds of the company's capital, and then we can talk about dividend payout. As to the future, maybe you said 300 something in a quarter. Well, this is year. Well, of the net income we have in 2011, and then we'd have to do the legal reserves, which is about 5%, and from that we are going to distribute 75%. If we adopt a linear growth rate, and your reasoning is accurate, even though we are not promising or assuring a linear growth rate, we are imagining that over the past 5 years, we will have a rate of at more or less at the level of this compound rate. But we can say that for sure. We are not promising anything. But if the net income were that, then we would reserve, set aside 5%, and over that we would distribute 75%. So this share of 75 obviously would already be a tax after tax and the legal reserve. Have I answered your question? Yes, you have. Thank you very much. Congratulations for your results.
Our next question comes from André Paz, shareholder. Francisco, I have a question with regard to the new dividends policy. A comment in the report talks about the impact of taxes in this change of policy. I would like you to please elaborate a bit on the expectations of Grendene with regards to the impact of an increased tax because of the change in this policy. Well, André, it is basically the following. Grendene's profit, basically 50% of it or half of it, does not originate from fiscal incentives, correct? Well, and this thing about tax incentives that are in the financial statements, if you include these resources in the basis for the calculation of dividends, and to reach the 70%, 75% of distribution, you have to include parts in the dividend base. This part has to be taxed. It has to be submitted to taxation. Because what does the law say? When tax incentives are included in the financial statements, if they are considered company reserves to meet obligations relative to fiscal incentives,
it should be excluded from taxation, from LALUR. So you should not tax or levy tax on these on this amount. Now, the company has already completed all obligations in terms of investments, has met all requirements that we always say that will never jeopardize this issue. Then you see that you have more than enough resources to meet the whole of your program with regards to incentives. And then, in this case, you can leave part of the total incentives in your dividend base. But then it is also included in the taxation base. So the tax, and I'm going to make an approximate estimation, it's very difficult to do that in a conference. We better have numbers in the paper. But basically, an approximate estimate is that this differential, the part that will exceed to get to the 75%, that is, to leave the 45% that we distribute today of payout to 75%, we are going to have a taxation of approximately 15%. That is an approximate estimate. But, of course, it depends on calculations, on the calculation of real profit, the tax calculation book, and you know, other things. It's not something that we can just, you know, calculate during a conference. Okay, Francisco, thank you very much. It was very clear. Thank you for your explanation. Our next question comes from Mario Bernardi from Banco do Brasil. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Schmidt. Congratulations on your results. I have a question. I see that you recovered gross margin. You went to back to the levels of the fourth quarter of 2008 because in 2009 you had the impact of your price strategy. But the EBITDA and EBITDA margins were much above the base of 2008 and before. So I would like to know if this current level of margins is your new level that we should consider a new benchmark for net margins. And again, congratulations on the result. Thank you, Bernardo. Well, indeed, our expectation is these to be the company's new benchmarks. I always remind you that the company has a seasonality effect. The margins that we attain in the second half of the year are not to be used as basis for the first half of the year. You'll have to always compare quarter on quarter because of the seasonality. But we do intend to increase for the first, second, and third quarters and so on, all quarters, an increase that corresponds to what we had in the first, in the second half of this year. And these are going to be our new benchmarks. Results in the third and fourth quarter were really exceptional. And in terms of EBIT margin and profit. So we do intend to keep close to that, to keep our margins close to that, both EBIT and profit margins. And that results, and we have confidence to say that, from an improvement in our processes and several operational indicators, the actions that we conducted that really have shown good regularity to the company. So once we maintain demand levels, which we expect to happen because the company cost depends on the use of its capacity. So if demand is kept at the levels we imagine, we will keep those levels of margin. And even if demand does not keep exactly the same, we may have better margins to that level of demand that we had in the past. So the company management believes that the company is much better, operationally speaking. Okay, Schmidt. My name is Mario. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I understand seasonality, but in the first quarter now, probably are going to have a difference. But can I expect a growth of margins for the next quarters that are slightly above the historical benchmark? Yes, you can expect a growth above our historical benchmark. You know, what we had in the first half of 2010 was bad, considered bad by the company. The margins in 2009 were excellent at the time. In 2009, we benefited a lot from the exchange rate. We are not going to have this effect from now on. So it's not going to be like the margin of the first quarter of 2009 that is going to be used as reference. But much probably it's going to be above 2010, above 2008, perhaps slightly below 2009. So if you remove the tax effect of the exchange effect, sorry, of 2009, we are going to have much better results. So it is not only recovery, it is improvement. Yes, that's correct.
Excuse me. Once again, if you want to ask a question, please press star 1. Excuse me, if you want to ask a question, please press star 1. Excuse me, we are now closing our Q&A session. I would like to turn it over to Mr. Francisco Schmidt for his final considerations. Please, Mr. Schmidt, you may proceed. In 2010, our pricing policy reflected our determination to recover margins, which is implicit in our guidances to the market. Both in internal and domestic and foreign market, prices have gone up, especially in the second half of the year. In recent past, even in spite of an unfavorable exchange rate, Grendene's kept its determination of expansion international market with great competition power. In 2010, in recovery international markets, we had a growth again. However, considering the continuity of an unfavorable exchange rate and our determination of recovering our margin levels, our expectation is to have a lesser growth in coming years with a possible decline in exported volumes in 2011. However, in the internal domestic market, demographic and macroeconomic factors have favoring the rise in consumption and confirming our assumption of market growth. We believe that over the next 4 to 5 years, the per capita consumption should go up to about 4.5 to 5 pairs a year, increasing the apparent consumption by approximately 300 million pairs per year, reaching in 2011, therefore, 1 billion pairs of annual consumption. We understand that the Grendene's is ready to capture a share of this growth in demand, possibly expanding its market share. Grendene should reinforce the execution of its strategy in 2011 with special attention to the adaptation of its pricing policy to a market with strong demand, identifying the new market segments with new licensings, innovating in products, strengthening its brands with aggressive marketing through multiple media, and seeking excellence in operations through continuing improvement and reinforcing its relationship with distribution channels and end customers. The approximation to end customers will be the focus of our strategy to strengthen brands. The objective is to gain scale, growing with solidity and sustainability both domestically and in the foreign market, with special attention to the maintenance of margins. Once again, I thank you all very much for your attendance, employees, investors, suppliers, and customers and community in general, for your renewed manifestation of trust that you have deposited in Grendene. Thank you all very much. Grendene's conference call has now ended. We thank you all for your attendance. Have a nice day, and thank you for using Chorus Call.